Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode we have here of Suspense Radio One-on-One with Partners in Crime Tour authors. Today will be author Charles Salzberg to talk about his latest book, Devil in the Hole, and some other things, of course, that he has going on. So sit back, relax, enjoy, because here's Suspense Radio One-on-One. We're back here, and we're welcoming you all to Suspense Radio One-on-One this morning with also author Charles Salzberg. Real quick announcement, we are going to be taking the radio show to its own webpage here, hopefully in the next couple weeks, and so we'll alert everybody when that happens, but we're going to be setting up its own webpage, its own stuff on the internet for Suspense Radio and all the shows we have going on, especially the new Crime and Science Radio with D.P. Lyle and Jan Burke. So check that out, and we'll let you know when all that happens. Right now, we want to welcome our guest onto the show. His book is called Devil in the Hole. He is author Charles Salzberg. And Charles, we want to thank you so much for coming on. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, John. Thanks very much for having me.
So aside from all your nonfiction work, you also have a series out. It's the Swan series, but now you decided to do something a little different, and the book is called Devil in the Hole. It's crime fiction based off of the notorious John List murders. So give everybody a little bit about Devil in the Hole and maybe why you decided to step out a little of your Swan series and get this book out now.
Sure thing, John. What happened was about 40 years ago, I was a young journalist, just starting out, a magazine journalist, and there was it was the front page of the New York Times about this murder in New Jersey where a man murdered his entire family, his wife, his three teenage children, his mother, and the family dog, and disappeared. And normally that wouldn't interest me any more than anyone else, but it turned out that they didn't find the murders until 3 weeks after they occurred, and they found the bodies in the house, neatly, side by side. It was an upper middle class neighborhood, a mansion almost. And the father who committed the crime, John List, disappeared. And what fascinated me about it was that it wasn't a spur of the moment thing. He planned it out because he gave himself enough time to escape. He stopped the mail. He called the school and told them the kids were going to be on vacation. He did all this planning, preparation for the murders to give himself time to get away. And finally, 3 weeks after the murders were committed, in a very bizarre way, the bodies were found. And they were found only because of a kind of a nosy neighbor. And they found the car, his car, at Kennedy Airport, and he disappeared. And this case fascinated me because I wanted to know how someone could plan something horrendous like that to the very last detail. So I wanted to do it as a nonfiction book originally, but I had no credits, and I would go to editors and I would go to agents, and they would say, well, it's a great story, but there's no ending. The guy's gone. You know, how are you going to end the book? But the story kind of haunted me, and years passed, and he still wasn't found, and I realized that it might make for a good novel, but I couldn't write it until I could figure out how someone could do something like that, my character could do something like that. And once I figured that out, I could start writing, and that's how it came about. And as a kind of an odd addendum to this, John List was featured on America's Most Wanted, I believe almost 20 years after the crime, and someone recognized him, and he was living in Denver, and he had created a whole new life. He had remarried, he had a job, and he was tried and convicted, and I believe he died in prison just last year. And this sort of the PPS of this is there was a very bad cheap TV movie made of the case with, of all people, Robert Blake playing John List.
Oh, geez, that's hilarious.
He had
Robert
his own
Blake
problem,
playing
yeah.
John List, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had no idea who John List was. I mean, just from looking at the background, it almost sounded like the Amityville Horror murders, where he goes through and kills the wife, the children, everybody in the house, except, of course, he didn't run away. And, yes, he was captured in 1989, and I'm just having to look, and it looks like he died in 2008 in prison. So you had to go ahead, and now you finally had the information that you wanted, but you still didn't want to write, you know, you still didn't write really the nonfiction part. So you wrote the book, basically, I mean, on a lot of things that you had to kind of assume that either happened, but, I mean, there's so much that you could have gone with. There's so many different things that you could have done. Is that how were you able to kind of put your thought process together in order to get it all in, Devil in the Hole?
Well, that's a really good, interesting question, John, because all fiction writers have to do this. They have to decide how they're going to tell a story. And because I was a journalist at the time I started doing this book, I thought it might be interesting to do it as if a journalist was interviewing people to find out what happened for a book, for a nonfiction book. And so I thought an interesting way for me to do this was to create characters, a whole bunch of them. There are maybe 20, 25 characters in the book. And each one has at least one chapter. There are some recurring characters like the investigator and the neighbor and a town clergyman. But others appear sometimes for as little as 2 pages. And what I did was I followed the path, and this was totally fictional. All I did was use the original crime as the kicking off point for the book. All the characters in the book are made up totally. And so I had this mythical make-believe journalist interviewing these people, and they telling their stories about who he was, what he was, and then people he met along his escape route. And it kind of worked for me, but and I even had the journalist in the book in the beginning who had his own chapters, and then I made it a woman. But I eventually took those out, and originally I didn't even have the John List character, whose name in the book is John Hartman, in the book. But I decided, and I'll tell you why, to give him his own chapters. But anyway, so I did it this way, and I brought it to, at the time, this is years ago when I first finished it, to agents and even to a couple of editors, and they said, this is really good, but no one wants to read a book where there are multiple points of view. And so, I disagreed. So I stuck with it, and I found an agent who really liked the book and made some suggestions, one of which was put the murderer in the book. And I did it, and I thought it turned out better, and then he quit the business. So I had this manuscript and no agent for the book. But I, as you mentioned, I've done other books, and I'm doing a series called the Henry Swan Detective Novels. And I've had 2 of those published, and the editor of that house, Five Star sent out an email to the author saying, look, we're looking for more stuff. So on a whim, I sent them this manuscript, thinking that it was wrong for them because they do kind of more, this is a more literary kind of a book. It's a crime book, but it's not a whodunit. It's a whydunit, maybe. And 2 weeks later, they wrote back and said, we love this book. We want to publish it. So that's kind of the history of the publication and how I did it. It was an unorthodox way, but the reviews seemed to love the multiple points of view, which shows you that, and the listeners, that you can't always listen to what the common wisdom is. You know, you just have to believe in what you're doing and think that it works.
Now, what made you think that Henry Swan, your character in your Swan series, was not maybe the best main character to tackle this story? You could have. Why did you decide to go outside of the series and have it kind of totally as a standalone?
Well, one reason was because of the way I told it. And I was really working on this simultaneously with a couple of the Swans. And so I didn't see, I mean, it's a good thing you point that out because I never thought of that. I mean, it probably could have worked, but I couldn't have done it the same way. It would have been a very different tone too, because the Swan books are kind of, you know, they have a humorous, sarcastic kind of wit. And this one was much more serious for me and tackling serious things. And so it probably could have, but it just never occurred to me to do it that way. And besides which, you know, the truth is that the Swan series never started out as a series. I wrote the first one, Swan's Last Song, as a one-off. I never intended to make him a recurring character. And then, much to my surprise, I was nominated, the book was nominated for a Seamus Award for the best first PI novel. And I lost, and I got pissed off. And I decided to write another one. I said, hey, I'm going to keep writing this series until I win something. And so that's how that became a series in the first place.
And I want to remind everybody that we're speaking here with author Charles Salzberg about his book called Devil in the Hole. You can visit charlessalzberg.com to find out more information and everything else that you have wrote. So Devil in the Hole now is out, and, you know, people are starting to read it, and you're probably starting getting some feedback back from fans and things like that. What's one of the one thing that they are telling you that may be surprising to you that they pick out? Because fans are always funny that they seem to pick out things that you were like, they're, you know, why are they focusing on that part of the book? I didn't quite get that. So how are they responding back to you?
Well, that's a really good question and an interesting question. And the thing that surprises me most is, and this is horrible to say, because I think sometimes we underestimate our readers, and I think in general people underestimate the public. But I'm gratified and surprised that people are totally understanding what I was doing in terms of I was trying to get into the mind of a murderer and make him not likable but understandable. And so in a lot of the reviews I'm getting, people are really getting what I was trying to do, and that's very gratifying for me. So that would be the most surprising thing, and I feel bad saying that because it means that I was underestimating my readers. Which you should never do. I mean, there are bad readers, but most people who get through a book are pretty smart and pretty perceptive. And that's the thing that surprises me most. And the other thing that surprises me in a good way, because I had no idea if this is going to be a problem. And so far it hasn't been, but this is a situation where it's people not saying something that's making me feel good. And that is when you have so many characters and so many voices, the big thing you're afraid of as a writer is that they all sound alike and that they're not authentic.
True.
And several of the reviews, no one has said this sounds inauthentic. This doesn't sound like a 15-year-old girl, or this doesn't sound like a 40-year-old woman, or this doesn't sound like a postman. And that's extremely gratifying to me, because that's the biggest thing I was afraid of, is that people would say these characters are unbelievable. No one talks that way. You know, I did ethnic characters. I did a black pimp. I did, you know, and that's a big surprise and a very pleasant surprise for me. And, you know, someone may still say it, but no one said it yet.
Now, the one thing that I did just I just happened to notice, I didn't think about it before, is I'm on the Amazon site and I'm looking right now, and I always like to look around, and I noticed that your book's not available in ebook form. Is that going to be happening sometime soon?
Yeah, it's interesting you should say that. Swan's Last Song is on ebook. Swan Dives In this week will be on ebook on September 10th. It will be released to the public. The problem that I have, I mean, I would love to see Devil in the Hole as an ebook, and it will be, but the publisher, Five Star, has the right. We meaning my agent and I and the agency have the right to do it as an ebook, but we need their permission, and they withhold the permission for at least 6 to 9 months because they want the hardcover to keep selling. So eventually, it will be an ebook, but who knows when? I'm going to be talking to my agent about that.
So it's not an ebook form yet. But do you have the rights to it, or they have the rights to it, so you can't do it on your own?
They do some ebooks, so they could do it. I have, my agent was really good, and we got the e rights to do it. And this is a new phenomenon.
Oh, you do have the e rights to do it.
Yeah, I do have the e rights, but they have the right of refusal. In other words, we have to get permission from them, timing wise. To do it as an ebook. I think they have a year or two to have it exclusively. But one of the interesting things to your listeners might be, and this is very prevalent, it's getting more prevalent now, is that my agency, my literary agency, which is called Trident Media, and I think some others now, they're going into the book publishing business. So Swan Dives In will come out as a Trident Media book. And that's happening more and more with agencies. They're seeing that the e-books are a source of money and getting readers, and they're creating their own companies.
Yeah, I mean, you need any help, you give me a call, because our publishing company can, we are an e-book publisher, so you need any help, you give us a call, we can help you
okay.
out. So you email
oh, great.
We'll talk about that after.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, great.
Because,
I'd love to.
I always felt that in today's day and age, the ebook should be the first thing. Let the paperback and the hardcover be the secondary part, because 65 to 70% of all books now, authors will tell you that says it's all my ebook sales. That's where all my sales are going on.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, and they think
that's quite interesting.
Yeah, and they think that you're competing against yourself, but you're really not, because people who want the hardcover or soft cover will buy it. There are some people, I have friends who have said to me, I'm waiting for the ebook. They don't buy anything except it's an ebook anymore. So I totally agree with you, that either before or simultaneous, and it's not going to hurt the sales of either. Besides what you said, as a writer, you want people to read your book. You don't really care what form they're reading it in.
Exactly. That's what you want, the biggest thing. And when you're looking at this book, I mean, you have everything. When you're just looking at the blurbs of it, when you're just looking at, the reviews and then the back of the book, I mean, any thriller suspense fan, I mean, you have everything that's kind of every element that you want within one of these books. So what is the one thing that you feel is kind of the essence of it? Is there a sentence? Is there a paragraph? Something in the book that you think maybe captures the essence of the book, Devil in the Hole?
I think, and I'm saying this from memory, I think the first line of the book tells it all. And it's something like, and your listeners who have the book will, the guy doesn't know the first line. I think the first line is something like, something was out of whack. I just couldn't put my finger on it. And I think that line for me, and I've been told by other people, and the best compliment I've gotten was from someone I know who said, I picked up your book, and I read the first page, and I wanted to read the second page. And that's what any writer wants, is that kind of reaction.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's always the thing. You want to make sure that your characters are memorable, and people aren't like, oh, who was the lady's name again? Because then it's like, if they're not memorable, whether you love them or you hate them, you always have characters, then you have forgotten ones. But the other thing that always happens with an author is you're sitting down and you have the book, you're outlining it, or however you do it. Sometimes you do it organically. But things pop up. Characters pop up out of nowhere that you had no idea where they came from or that they were going to have this kind of a voice. Who in Devil in the Hole was that character for you that kind of sprang out of nowhere that is like, wow, I mean, it's like, it's almost like when they say that Charlie Sheen captured Ferris Bueller in that one little scene with Jennifer Grey at the end. Who's that, who's like your Charlie Sheen in your book that kind of stole like a little bit of thunder?
That's a really good question too. And I think, and I did not plan this, I'm in the camp that I write organically, I don't outline. And so with each of these, I never knew what was happening next, I never knew what character. But I think the clairvoyant is the one, two actually, the clairvoyant who the investigator goes to out of desperation to see if he can get any direction as to where Hartman is, that character. And then there's a writer on a train that's going through Latin America. And that one just came out of nowhere, and I just did it. And while I was doing it, I kept thinking of the Hitchcock Strangers on a Train. So those were the two characters that really came out of nowhere and were really fun to write.
And now that you're doing this Partners in Crime tour, and is this something that you've never done before? Is this like the first kind of blog tour that you've ever done?
Yes, absolutely. And it's really fun.
And so I was just going to say, so how's it been? I mean, you've probably met a lot of interesting different people, a lot of different websites, a lot of different perspectives. So how's the journey been so far for you?
So far it's been great because every morning I wake up and Cheryl, who's one of the partners, I find an email, and it could be like 7:30 in the morning here in the East. I get an email from her, Charles, here's where you are today. Here's your visit today. And I click on it, and I never know what people are going to say. And some of them are most of them are crime people, but some of them are not. And it's really interesting how they hook into it. And I've met such nice people. It's been terrific. And you included, John. I'm not just saying that.
Oh, nice.
Although I would say it, but I'm not just saying it.
Yeah, see, that's part of the package when they sign up, that every author that comes on one-on-one has to say how fabulous I am, otherwise I'll never have them back.
You know, I didn't get that note, that memo, but I guess I just naturally figured it out.
Yeah, see? That's very, and that's what I've been trying to tell people for years. They just don't listen to me. So now, where are you going? Where can people catch you in the future? Are you going to be out doing anything else? Because, like, you know, every kind of blog is a little bit different. You kind of get, like I said, a little different perspective. So where is this tour taking you now into the future after today?
I'm not sure of the specifics, although it was sent to me, but I have about 3 or 4 blog pieces that I wrote coming up, and I have several more interviews, blog interviews that I've written out. I love questions like, what's your favorite food, or, you know, what's your favorite drink?
Sure.
And then I'm going to be at the VoucherCon on the 20th of September. I'm on a panel with some other really great writers on writing the PI novel. So that's the next. And then I'm going to be down in this one I'm really looking forward to. There's a great bookstore, and if you're in that area, you ought to go, whether I'm there or not, called Page and Palette in Fairhope, Alabama. And on October 18th, I'm doing a reading and a signing and a talk there, like at 5 o'clock. And those are the two that I'm really looking forward to in the next, you know, I have some New York appearances, but I have enough friends here that know about it. But those are the two things I'm looking forward to. But this tour has been really fun. You know, when I get my first really bad review, John, I might not think it's so much fun, but then the next day it'll probably get a better review and it'll be fine.
Well, you know, VoucherCon should be very good. Is this the first time you've been to VoucherCon or a big convention like this?
It is. It is my first one, so I'm really looking forward to it. I went to something called Men of Mystery twice out in California, which was great, which was 500 fans and 50 mystery writers. And you sit at a table with 10, most of them, and nothing against them because they're great readers. They were all women. you know, 99% women
over typically
the age
are.
Of 50. Yeah, and over the age of 50, and they were so nice and so supportive. But that's the only one I've done other than VoucherCon. And I know a lot of people going to VoucherCon, so it should be really fun. I'm a member of the Mystery Writers of America, and a lot of the people I've met doing panels and readings and stuff like that will be up there. And I'd like to give a plug to one thing that,
yes.
if you don't mind, John, it's an e-book called Grand Central Noir. And it's an e-book. There are 10 stories in it by some great crime writers. All take place in or around Grand Central Terminal. And I put in a Henry Swan story, but every writer donated their story. I didn't get a penny for it. And every penny of the download, it's just an e-book, goes to a charity called God's Love We Deliver. And so I'd just like to give a plug to that because the editor, Terrence McCauley, is terrific. And he set it up, and there are great stories in it. And I believe it's $2.99, and as I said, every penny, not, you know, most of it, but every penny goes to In God's Love We Deliver.
Well, Charles, we want to thank you so much for coming on and talking to us here about Devil in the Hole and being one of your tour stops for Partners in Crime Tour. So much success for the book. Have a lot of fun on the tour. Enjoy today, and, you know, we will catch up with you later. And again, if you need any help, you give me an email and we will talk.
You'll definitely get one from me. Thank you so much, John. It was a pleasure.
All right. Thanks, Charles. You have a great day and enjoy yourself.
Thanks. Bye. Bye.
All right. So again, everybody, that is author Charles Salzberg. CharlesSalzberg.com is his website. The book Devil in the Hole, fascinating tale suspense based off of real life events, but not a true crime nonfiction book, just based on the event of John List. And if you haven't looked up who John List is and you want to know before you buy the book, you'll see it and then you'll want to know what the hell was in this guy's brain and why he did what he did. And I think Devil in the Hole, while it might not answer some of those questions, it is definitely the game of the suspense thriller cat and mouse kind of thing that you can go through and get a much better understanding of what's going on. So that, again, is Charles Salzberg and Devil in the Hole. I want to make a couple quick announcements, too, that, of course, fans have already noticed now that September there is no magazine, that September, October will be together on October the 5th. That should be out around then. September 18th, for all of you who want to hear James Patterson live on Suspense Radio, you get your wish, because I'm interviewing him on September 18th. Of course, you can listen to it in demand, 30 minutes long. James Patterson, don't need to say anything more than that. And we have a lot of other things coming up. You want to check out suspensemagazine.com right now. Click on the radio button to see what's going on. And you're also going to notice a new banner up there called Crime and Science Radio. And you click on that, and that is hosted by D.T. Lyle and Jan Burke. So any fans or authors that want to know more about CSI, forensics, in-depth crime labs, anything at all there has to do with murder and mayhem and the behind-the-scenes of how it's found out and what CSI does and what they actually are and how it actually works, you definitely want to check out Crime and Science Radio. But there is so much more that's about that show. Just check it out and see what's going on. So it's going to be very interesting here in the next couple months to see everything that goes on. We are going to be putting out, and we're starting to accumulate some of our best of for September, and that's always a very fun time. So until next time, everybody, because I've been talking way too much, and it's, you know what, it's the start of the NFL football season coming up, and I have to say go Vikings, and on that front, you guys have a nice day. See you guys later.